We take a look back this week at the beginning of the new millennium in Daikaiju films. From the end of the era at Toho to American filmmakers taking the torch, from the assault of the asylum films to the emergence of auteurs taking monsters seriously. Join us for the end of the season here on the podcast as we celebrate anything and everything that came out post Y2K and before 2009. This is Kaiju vs. History, 2000s in Review Special.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your recently college graduated host, Patrick, and joining me is someone who just learned about the Heisei era a decade later, Miles. Hey, Miles.
Yeah, this would have been when we both graduated college. Yeah.
Yes, about 20 years ago or so. And then, that's when I started really getting into Kaiju films around there.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've talked off and on about our kind of secret origins, but like my era of like getting into kaiju films as a genre would have been around college, because like growing up, I mostly just knew that I liked Godzilla films. And, you know, when I saw a Gamera film on MST3K or something like that, but it wasn't until college where I was like, no, I really, really like these movies and what they do. And that's when I think it was around 04, because that's when as Americans, we got the first official release of Gojira, you know? Yeah. And I think you can't take that for granted by the fact that, like, you know, until 04, a lot of people didn't have easy access to see the original version of Godzilla. And that's a big deal. Like, even though we liked King of the Monsters a lot, like, it's such a different film and different experience that I think watching that, probably, I guess I was a sophomore in college when that version came out, freshman or sophomore, one of the two. And I just remember seeing that movie and I'm like, oh yeah, this is the kind of stuff I really love.
Yeah. And then all the movies got very silly after that, of course, but
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. The Heisei really had that return to serious kaiju. For better or for worse.
Depending. We had some stinkers in that era.
Miles, we raced through this season. It felt like this is a fairly short one, I guess, as far as it goes. Not as short as the 1980s, but
you say that, but like, I mean, we spent a good 9 months on this era, which is a little bit more than I expected to.
Season 6 was episode 133, and this is 158. And if you can do that, man,
I can't.
That is 25 episodes. And in there we had an animated Kong, the animated series that we talked about.
Uh-huh.
And what else did we do this season? We had a Final Wars, Godzilla Final Wars commentary. Mm-hmm. And we've done 2 Evangelion movies. But yeah, but for the most part,
the interview with Graham Skipper.
Yeah, well, yes, in our episode of Godzilla versus Megaguirus, that kicked off season 6. But yeah, we're wrapping up this season this week. This is a send off to the season 6. And not only is this episode going to come out right after my birthday, this also falls basically on the week of our 3rd anniversary for the podcast. We launched Kaiju versus History about 1,100 days ago in September 2021.
I'm not going to lie, I feel like we've been doing this a lot longer.
Yeah, the first couple seasons were very, very long. Season 1, the 1950s and before, whoa, boy, it took a while to get through those movies. And then season 2, the 1960s, is one of our longest seasons. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of like the big era, you know? That and the 70s to a degree, even though it's shorter, like the impact that those two decades have is pretty amazing. And honestly, this one is I have fond memories of this decade. I know there are some big stinkers in this decade, but
yeah, but some of our favorite kaiju movies of all time are here for you. You know, spoilers, you talked about Gamera the Brave, but we had 3 10 out of 10 films in this decade, which is only rivaled by a similar 3 10 out of 10s in the 1990s. So yeah, who knows, maybe the next season 7 will break that record. But
yeah, we should have had 4 10 out of 10 movies, but yeah. we have a little bit of a hater in our dear friend Patrick here.
For what movie?
You know exactly what movie. You're laughing. You know exactly what movie I'm talking about.
I don't. What other movie did you give a 10 to?
I gave it a near 10. Versus Aliens, one of the greatest animated films of all time.
You're also holding it back.
I mean, my rating was like a 9.6 for that one movie.
No. I gave it a 10
for personal, a 10 for evocative, and a 9 for technical, didn't I?
No. What do I got? No, I have you down as a 9 in total. I don't know if you changed your.
I mean, I think it probably is a 9 in total. I might have given a 9 for evocative, but I thought I gave it a 10. Doesn't make it. It's what's written down in my notes.
Well, you're a silly Billy. You're a silly goose. We do have a lot to celebrate, a lot to reminisce on for this season, these 24 films that we watched. But the first thing I want to do was talk about some of the things that we skipped or other kaiju like projects in the 2000s, Miles.
Yeah.
Some of which are short
films.
Some
I thought was on the list, to be perfectly honest, because I think I've even said, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to us watching this movie. And then I was like, oh, we're not watching it. I
pulled the rug out from under you.
I'm curious if you know exactly what movie I'm talking about.
Well, did you mention before we started recording that one?
No. I think I mentioned it like a week or so ago that we were going to talk about this movie, and then I realized, oh, no, we're not.
Well, what are you talking about? We can start off with that one.
One of the movies that we didn't talk about, and a movie that for some reason I thought we were, just because it's got the 50s kind of vibe to it. It's a very self-aware movie, was Eight-Legged Freaks.
Right, right.
Because I know you and I had talked about doing that movie.
Yes, there was a resurgent of kind of giant spider films.
Yeah.
And spoiler warning, we do have a giant spider movie in season 7, but I've not seen this one, so I just did some kind of a little bit of screening, and
I mean, it's a giant bug movie.
Yeah, that's
but because thing. I guess because we had done the 50s where it's such a bunch of giant regular creatures, we might have done it as a throwback to that, because that's what this movie was. And yes. I was looking forward to seeing it because I remember working at a movie theater when this came out, and it was interesting because this movie did all right. And mm-hmm. I remember being so surprised because I thought it'd be a bunch of like younger kids, but it was like a lot of older people went and saw this movie. Mm-hmm. And I guess I didn't realize at the time that it was a throwback to probably what they grew up on, either on TV or if they were much older, like what they saw in the theaters. And this movie has a pretty solid reputation. People like enjoy Eight-Legged Freaks. I mean, partially you've got David Arquette being like the most David Arquette. And it's a goofy, fun movie.
Yeah.
I'm kind of bummed that we didn't watch it for the podcast, just because I do enjoy this kind of self-aware celebration of silly movies, because as much as I love taking kaiju seriously, there's also a silly side to some of it, like just giant spiders. That kind of feels inherently silly to some. I know for some people, that's like the worst nightmare of all time. My fiance is like deathly terrified of spiders.
Yeah. No, like, thank you.
Legit. Like, I screened Alien Romulus because she thinks the facehuggers are too spider-like. And
oh, yeah. They're 10 times creepier than spiders.
And in this particular film, they have a whole roll of spoiler warnings for Alien Romulus. But
you watch that trailer and you're like, oh, that's what they're doing. Okay.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I do get that, but this is a really fun movie. I mean, I can't say like, let's go back and watch it, although maybe we can go back and watch it.
Yeah,
but well, I would definitely tell people to check it out because it's a very fun movie that doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, 2002 film. It is about a lot of very large spiders, some of which are kind of car sized. You know,
yeah.
I think some of the bigger ones, and they are all mutated by toxic chemicals, so it has that kind of
vibe,
the world, yeah, giant bug movie from the 50s vibe, like you said. It definitely falls into the kaiju like thing, so it didn't super fit our criteria, but like I said, there's a ton of movies that are very similar to that that we don't have on here. Another one we didn't add, but started off this season, is something I wanted to look at because it looks so cool. In the year 2000, there was a television series, not a film, but a TV series called Tekoki Miyazuki, or Iron Armor Miyazuki. And it is a pretty, for the time, cutting edge CGI green screen kind of monster giant robot slash monster series. And they had some great, amazing miniature work in it. There's only 8 episodes or 6 episodes, some very short, but it was directed by Kita Imamiya of Kamen Rider, who did a lot of the TV shows in the 90s, all the those. And it has some great kaiju designs. The monsters that they fight are awesome suits.
They are. And I also agree with I also agree with not doing this one. We don't do a lot of TV, but also this falls much more into the tokusatsu realm of things. And, you know, we didn't do any Super Sentai slash Power Rangers from the 90s or 2000s. And I mean, if we're not going to touch that, I do feel justified in not doing this. Although I also agree in calling attention to it because these designs are awesome.
The designs for the both the giant robot and the kaiju, there's only 6 episodes, but the first episode has a watermelon kaiju, which looks so cool, but also kind of, you know, goofy, a little Power Rangers-esque, because it's, you know, like a fun fruit monster. But blows me away that this was on TV, because this does look like 90s Heisei giant creature design know-how, you know, like they really put a lot of money into this. So something I would have loved to have done, but it's not something that this movie focused podcast is about. And yeah, another project we passed on is this next one, Miles. I think we've talked about this.
We have. I don't know if we've talked about, have we talked about the show? I know we've talked about it like between you and I.
2007's Always series, including the second film, Always Sunset on 3rd Street 2.
I remember when this film came out because the scene that you were referring to, which is a dream sequence that involves Godzilla, was spread like wildfire on Twitter at the time after release. Like I have seen that scene by itself. I have never seen the rest of the film. I have only seen this one sequence. It's a great sequence. And it's also lovely to know that the director would go on to direct his own Godzilla film.
Yeah, so this whole series is directed by future Godzilla Minus One director Takashi Yamazaki, who, I mean, for 2007, the destruction in that
this sequence is amazing.
Looks so ahead of its time. CGI Godzilla does not look great in retrospect, but I think at the time it would have been, you know, such a huge improvement.
I mean,
other CGI Godzillas that will not be named.
He also, like, he makes Godzilla look less like the Millennium version, which is kind of what I love. He looks a little more Heisei-esque, and I think that's what makes it so much fun for me. Like, and also knowing it's a dream sequence, like, he doesn't have to look great. You know, he doesn't have to look like... Like, knowing it's a dream sequence, you can do so much with that. So it gets a lot of forgiveness. But also, like, just knowing this person goes on to make one of the greatest Godzilla films of all time.
Yeah, only 16 years later.
I mean, yeah, I know why we didn't do this, because it's, yeah, it's a dream sequence. But like, it's a great scene. And I mean, if you only watch one scene, yeah, definitely watch that one. But these movies, I've heard a lot of great things about them, and they are on my list. It's just, it's tougher to find. I wish we had a better localizer for Japanese cinema in general.
Yeah,
but
I've figured with him getting so much, you know, press for Godzilla Mask 1,
the accolades, some
more
of
his movies might come over, including the one about the Zero pilot that kind of was like a template for this film.
Yeah, I mean, it's harder because, like, outside of Arrow, you don't get a lot of localization for Japanese films now. In the West, you have Third Window Films, which is mostly a UK publisher. So if you have a region free player, or a lot of their stuff is region zero, they try to do that without advertising it so that they can get past some of the rights issues. They are one of the folks that do a lot of non, like, it's not just horror movies. They do a lot of just Japanese cinema. I would absolutely look into their stuff. I don't think they've put this one out because now the Yamazaki stuff is pretty sought after. So I'm curious who's going to put out something. I wouldn't be surprised if like Criterion or Arrow puts out some sort of box set for this director in the future.
Yeah. That would be nice. The Eternal Zero is the one that I was talking about, and I've heard good things. You know, when asked, yeah. Marty Scorsese, you know, had a lot of praise for that movie, and it was the highest grossing Japanese film of 2014.
You know, and that's one thing I always appreciate about Scorsese is that he does take the time to watch a lot of foreign cinema.
Oh, he goes out of his way, yeah.
You know, and a lot of directors of his ilk don't. And so I hold a lot of respect. You know, he not only is he one of our, like, it's easy to make fun of him as like a millennial because like, oh, he said this, this, and this, but it's always like out of context sound bites that people were just like fishing for. But like Martin Scorsese is one of our greatest filmmakers. Like there's no argument about that.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. It's like, I think it's easy to be great as a Spielberg and things when you're like just constantly surrounded by people that are doing great work, but I feel like Marty is at the forefront of his movies doing the great work, and then he leads people to greatness along with him.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting because, like, you know, I know he's a big Ishiro Honda fan, and mm-hmm. I kind of always hoped that would lead to more Western releases of his non-Godzilla work, a lot of his dramas and stuff, because I really want to see that because he's a phenomenal director. Like we mm-hmm. have seen his kaiju cinema. We know how good he is, but there's a lot of stuff that we never saw.
Yeah. Always overshadowed by his contemporaries of the time.
Your contemporary of the time is freaking
Akira Kurosawa. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
He's his best
friend, Akira Kurosawa.
Ishiro Honda is also kind of standing in the shadow of Godzilla, which, you know, mm-hmm. always takes up so much of the juice in the room, where those are always going to sell and maybe not his other films. Anyway, let's get back to what we missed in the 2000s. Because we have not done them yet. There were two short films in the 2000s that I want to talk about. We are likely going to do like a short special at some point, but it feels weird doing like an hour long episode about a 10 minute short. But
right. I think doing a episode about several of them. There's a really good one now of I think they call it like the VHS Godzilla, the found footage short film, which is really, really fun.
There's so many good ones, but this one's actually a little bit longer. This is pushing, you know, kind of beyond short film. It's a 20 minute long film, live action from 2009 called Geharha, the Dark and Long-Haired Monster. And it's a short kaiju film that was made for the NHK, like the Nippon Broadcasting mm-hmm. program Papu. And there's some great special effects in it. There's a great use of humor. If you want to preview this, and I'll be excited to talk about it when we do get to a shorts special. But the other one, Negadon, the Monster from Mars from 2005, is there's kaiju in it, but it is more, I think, a total kind of love letter to 50s and 60s tokusatsu, because there's space stuff, there's mecha, there's, you know, all kinds of things. So, and it is interesting. It is a all CGI kind of PS2 graphics.
all CGI film. Stuff from that era can be a little dicey, and
the monsters are not scary, but the human faces are a little frightening.
yeah they are. I wish they had like the money from like Final Fantasy The Spirit Within, like,
yeah,
then it might have been all right
computers to make the film,
because the monsters do look pretty fun.
Yeah. Another film that was on our list for the longest time and was taken off kind of last minute is 2004's giant monster movie, a Thai film from Thailand called Garuda. It is a monster based on mythology of the region of kind of Southeast Asia. It is a very large harpy-like monster, kind of gargoyle-esque.
Yeah.
With it tips the scales. It's about 15 feet tall. And I think it might grow. It kind of changes size throughout the film. But it's never kaiju size.
It's not it's more kaiju, just, really.
It's more just, yeah, giant monster. But I think I wanted some more. It was originally on the list because I want some more non-Japan or Korea or U.S. influence. And I would like to watch it at some point. There's not great, like, I don't think it's on Tubi or anything. So there's not great ways to watch it. But it does fall in those kaiju-like films. The next one was also on our list for a while. It was.
And I actually forgot until today that we didn't watch it.
The 2004 mockumentary called Incident at Loch Ness, which is starring, produced, and written by Zach Penn and Werner Herzog.
it's such a
mind-boggling wild movie.
Yeah, I mean, because like you have the story writer of like X2 at the time, and I think he did the screenplay for like Suspect Zero. Incident at Loch Ness is one that I remember seeing at the video store all the time. I've seen bits and pieces of it. It's not, I don't think it's a movie I've seen all the way through, but I love Nessie. Like,
yeah,
just like, I just love the Loch Ness monster, but I also dislike movies where Nessie's the bad guy. like to me, Nessie is a friendly little guy. And this movie is not that. It's a fun little movie. I mean, for a 2004 kind of like found footagey mockumentary style movie, it's not bad. I don't know how Werner Herzog got his name on there.
I mean, he's in the film too.
I know, it's like, but like, all like, over it's, it. It's such a weird thing. Like,
oh yeah, it's very.
it's weird that this movie exists as it is.
So I have a few things kind of planned potentially for once we run out of films to watch, and I think going back and looking at some Nessie films in media as like a special might be fun.
I am 100% down. I love Nessie. I used to have. I didn't realize it was a Napoleon Dynamite themed shirt until someone pointed it out to me because I don't like that movie. But I did have a shirt that I bought from like in 2004 from Hot Topic that had like the little like character of Nessie and just said Nessie, our underwater ally, which is a reference to something Napoleon says at the beginning of that terrible movie. Because yeah, I don't like that movie. I'm sorry.
You're so weird. Sometimes you just, it's like super popular films. They're like, I hate it.
I've never liked that movie. Like from day one.
It's so funny.
But I do love Nessie.
Yeah. So that's one that we could potentially get back to. One we're likely never, ever going to be able to do is the last one that we skipped. It's another series, but also a series of films and short films called Den Ace, and it is the brainchild of Minoru Kawasaki, who we just watched his kaiju directorial debut in Monster X Strikes Back. But his ongoing series of Den Ace shorts, I think he's been doing since the 90s or
late. Yeah, 90s. He's been on for a hot minute.
It is a slapstick kind of connected universe Ultraman parody. Really, really just a love letter to Tokusatsu. And he's been, I think he has been Den Ace himself in a lot of them.
I think you're right. Suit.
But it's there's very few that you'll find online and even fewer in English or translated for English speaking audience. He does show up at the end of some of his movies, just kind of like as a little, I guess, directorial nod. Like, I'm pretty sure he's at the end of, gosh, what's the movie that we're probably also not going to be able to do because of translation, Earth Defense Widow, another one of his that has not been translated locally. But I love Den Ace. I love the design. He's kind of got like a mix between Ultraman and a Power Ranger.
I think
look
we've
to him.
Had some people on the Discord like have some excitement for doing Den Ace because of its Tokusatsu connections, which, I mean, we do have more Tokusatsu themed fans on our Discord, so I get that. But like, it's the same with doing The More You Know with Drew. Like, we were doing a Super Sentai month at the time of recording. And it's one of those things where, like, yeah, I wish I could just bring, like, all of our podcasts together so we could just do a Tokusatsu podcast, because that seems to be what everyone wants us all to do.
No way. If we're doing anything after Kaiju versus History, it's Ultraman versus History. We're doing all of Ultraman.
That's Tokusatsu.
I was about to say, yeah. I mean, that's the actual combination of of
there are some good Ultraman shows. There really are.
And about 30 or 40 movies, which is why I didn't add them.
Trust me, Drew and I did a whole like month and a half of Ultraman last year, Ultramanuary. And I mean, there's a lot to it. And it's also very, very fun to watch.
Miles, are you ready to move on and revisit the worst films of the 2000s and then talk about how that affects our worst kaiju movies of all time? Because
I feel like we have some big stinker contenders here.
Yes and no. There's some that we had some very bad ones, yes, but our number five worst film of the 2000s was given a 5 out of 10 from us, which is just kind of okay. That's Kong King of Atlantis. I think we liked the other one a little bit more. But then number four, number three on our bottom rated five films are both of the Asylum films of variety. We've got Megashark versus Giant Octopus that got a 3 out of 10. And then King of the Lost World, which got a lower graded 3 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. But
those did not hold a candle to our number two and number one.
Nope.
Films, which are two twos, The Naked Monster and Monster at number one. Monster got.
And so the thing is, like, these four, or no, I'm sorry. These four movies, do they not end up on our top bottom 10?
Oh, no. Yes. So they are pushing out four other films because they are twos and threes. They're pushing out almost. Well, no, they're pushing out a couple movies from the 50s. Say goodbye to The Giant Claw and the beginning of the
end. Oh, man, I hate that movie.
Being on they're no longer on the top 10 worst kaiju
films.
I think you
like heavily weighted that one.
Beginning of the End or Giant Claw? Giant Claw, I gave like a 6. Yeah, I enjoyed
it. Yeah, no, I was very anti-Giant Claw.
Giant Claw is also just one of the coolest kaiju. It's like a space alien vulture that... That's the worst puppet. I loved it. We're also saying goodbye to Attack of the Super Monsters from the 1980s and Gargantua from the 1990s. Just bad, but not stinking bad.
Some of those I don't remember watching.
But yeah, these are taking all the places in the bottom seven, actually, these four threes and twos. So number seven is Megashark versus Giant Octopus, followed by King of the Lost World, The Naked Monster, then The Mighty Gorga, then Monster from this season.
Mm-hmm.
Still not as bad as Zarkor the Invader, and no one has dethroned Queen Kong, Miles.
Queen Kong!
One out of, out of 10. Still our worst kaiju movie of all time. And
yeah, I,
as,
you know,
as
it's
catchy
so
as that song is, I never want to rewatch that movie.
That song's probably the only reason it even has a score. You know, it's so funny because you made the joke in our notes about how you wouldn't be surprised if all of our worst reviewed kaiju films weren't Asylum films, but I don't know if anything out terribles Zarkor or Queen Kong.
Yeah, those are pretty darn low for us. I just think almost all these others. So at 10, we have Jumborg Ace and Giant, which is a 4. That's going to go pretty quick. 3 is Mighty Kong. Or no, 9 is Mighty Kong. 8 is Ape, A-P-E. I think those are going to be knocked out in this next
season. Oh, yeah. I definitely think they're going to get yeeted. Because, I mean, I think Jumborg Ace and Giant was more of a problem with, like, localization and like transfer, not necessarily that the movie was terrible, but you know what, we're stewing too much in the stinky. Let's elevate ourselves and talk about the good stuff we experienced in this, honestly, better than I thought it would be season. Like I thought there would be more garbage, and there really wasn't, I feel like.
Yeah, like I said, you know, one of our worst movies from the last 24 had a 5 out of 10, which is, you know, honestly not terrible. I would say terrible is in our ones, twos, and threes category. But yeah, we had some of our favorite movies be in the 2000s. We actually have 6 top 5 rated films, because number 5 is a straight tie between two films that we both love. 2005's or Peter Jackson's King Kong, I should say, and The Host.
Probably, if we have to make a call, I would edge out The Host and give that the 5 spot.
I think we gave both of them five or three nines each. So I think sure they
really for King Kong, because I know we had some issues with certain aspects of that movie.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But yeah, both of those are close enough. But I think one or both had slightly higher scores for the number four top rated film of the 2000s. GMK, Godzilla, Mothra and King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters, All That Attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of our top three movies are got a 10 out of 10.
Yeah. And all three of those movies, I'm like, yeah, these movies I would watch anytime.
Well, I will say I gave all the three of these films, I think, a 9 out of 10. Oh, no. Gamera of the Brave, I gave a 10 out of 10 as well. But
better have.
Number three is Cloverfield. Number two is Godzilla Final Wars. And number one favorite movie, some of our favorite movies of all time, is Gamera of the Brave. Number one.
Which I think actually got a higher than a 10 out of 10, if I'm not mistaken.
If we maxed out the...
No, I mean... All five of these movies are great. I know I have issues with King Kong 2005 that I probably should have been a little harsher in the scripting aspect of it, but there's so much about it that it's so good. But if I had to like say, oh, you can only have a top five, I would actually put The Host above King Kong just because it's such a great film.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, King Kong is much more of a kaiju film, whereas The Host is, more kaiju adjacent, but I feel like both of them.
I mean, you know my attitude about King Kong. I always think he's kaiju adjacent.
I think they're both great because they show how much can be done with various, you know, studios and artistic visions behind them. You know, Peter Jackson did a great job, but he had all the resources in the world after the Lord of the Rings, and
right.
Host was really just done on, you know, some shoe polish,
and a wing like and a prayer. Box.
Yeah. And just surprisingly but, CGI that holds up.
I mean, I also love the genre era for director Bong because like you have this and then is it not soon after this, he does Snowpiercer?
Yeah. Yeah. And that one kind of went over a lot of critics' heads as well. But
people have since gone back to it because you had the very popular TV series that came out afterwards. And it's also a really solid movie. Like it's a little sloppy, but like it's really solid. And for his first English directed film, I thought it was excellent. I mean, obviously he would go on to like, you know, get all of the Oscars with Parasite. So,
so that means for our 10 best kaiju films of all time so far, we are edging out a couple other nines out of tens and adding three 10 out of tens to the list. Number 10 of our favorite films of all time is Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2.
So good.
Which Miles gave a 10. Godzilla versus Destoroyah is...
I'm supposed to be embarrassed by that? No, that movie's amazing.
I gave it a 9, so it got a podcast 9 final. Godzilla versus Destoroyah is a 10 from us. Cloverfield joins the list at 8. It got a 10. All the rest have got a 10.
And our only
non-Gamera,
English speaking movie, period.
Yes. Number for 7 now is Godzilla Final Wars. Number 6, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, the 70s. Number 5 is Gamera, Guardian of the Universe. Number 4, the original Gojira.
It's wild that's at 4.
Yeah, I mean, these are, you know, a point.
I know what the
three
what the,
difference yeah. between some of these. Number 3 is Gamera Revenge of Iris. Number 2, Gamera the Brave. The only film, though, that's got a perfect 10 from us is still on the board at number 1. That's Godzilla versus Biollante. And I almost didn't because I hate myself, but I was like, something's got to take that top spot.
I mean, I am a Biollante fan. I'm curious how this is going to sit because there is one particular film that is all 10s for me from the 2010s. I think you know which one it is. I don't know where you sit on this movie, so I'm really interested to talk about that film with you.
Save it. We'll talk about it.
No, I'm kind of getting more of an aperitif, a teaser for the next season of how we're going to feel about things because what's so interesting is with this season, we were entering an era where like all these movies we had seen before or seen prior to doing it for the podcast.
Right.
We have, I mean, and the 90s too, but we have experience. Now, in the 2010s, as we are leaving this season, these are things that we have seen in theaters, that we have thought about, talked about in our adult lives. This is not something that we are waxing nostalgic about. These are things that we have like kind of formulated things on after our lizard brains have, you know, kind of come into, you know, full growth. And I'm really excited to talk about that because, you know, during this decade, you kind of have the new kaiju explosion happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to talk about all the things that entails. But I know you are excited to talk about like how much nicer you were than I was in the year in review.
Well, not
highlighting this as much.
Not too much. This is actually your, I guess, second favorite decade. Your score for the 2000s, your average is a 6.3, which is the mm-hmm. same as the 1960s. But is still almost a full point behind the 90s, where you gave a 7.1 average.
That's a great decade. It's a great decade.
This is my second favorite after the 1990s. The 2000s, my average score was a 6.9 out of 10.
Nice.
And the 1990s was 7.5. But overall, that means the 2000s is our second favorite decade. And as far as the average score of movies by decade, it goes 1980s is the worst. It was also
which
skewed.
Sucks because like it has some good movies in it, but yeah, it's a nothing decade.
It's about 10 films and they're not all great. Then the 1970s, then the 1950s, and then 60s is our third favorite, then 2000s, and then number one is 1990s. I don't know if anything can beat 1990s because we only have a couple more decades.
I don't know. I mean, the thing is 2010, it'll be interesting, but there's also so much like
wreck.
Asylum stuff. Like, and that sort of level to bring the decade down, which is also what happened in the 2000s, because there's a lot of interesting stuff in the 2000s. And I think if we didn't have some of that, like you said, dreck, I'd be curious about it because
I do think that we in the 1950s were having a hard time.
but it certainly was.
It felt like eating your kaiju vegetables in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, going through these films that, you know, all were made before we were born. And then we kind of got to the main course. I think the 80s, 90s, and 2000s are really what, you know, we started this podcast to work towards and to finally get to Heisei and Millennium Godzilla and all these great camera films.
Even watching some of these movies within the context of the time, because like I've enjoyed like going through this entire podcast so far, but rewatching the movies that I was like, yeah, this is one of my favorites. It's weird because I'll get like a little nervous before watching it. Like, what if this is the time this movie doesn't work for me? And I've been watching all these things in context. And then I finish something like Godzilla versus Biollante. And I'm like, oh no, this movie absolutely slaps. Like, no. But at the same time, it's a little bit of a bummer, like to see a decade like the 2000s get, you know, it's a 6.8. So it is our second highest,
yeah.
But it's like, man, there are so many great films that I feel like are getting overshadowed by a score like this. You know, obviously three of these movies entered in our top 10. Yeah. And like,
we're given a 10 out of 10.
Yeah. The diamonds in this season are, I mean, some of the shiniest we get, but also we have some like this season also gave us three new entries in our bottom 10. So it's a weird decade for sure.
They balance out themselves. So we've, you know, done like 130 something films over the course of this podcast, and so far have only given out 9 10 out of 10s, you know, and only one perfect 10 out of 10. So there's definitely some digging for these perfect movies.
Let me ask you something, Patrick, because this is one thing that we've done, or we haven't talked about a ton, but something I wanted to ask you. Because, you know, we started this podcast because we're both kaiju enthusiasts, and, you know, it started off as a kind of a drunken conversation. It's like, oh, what if we did this whole thing?
Thank you, pandemic.
there's also that. What from this decade was a surprise to you? Like, what movie did you watch? It may not have had the best score, but you're like, man, I'm glad I saw that. And you wouldn't have otherwise if we weren't doing this show. Like, what's a movie that like you were like, oh man, I'm glad I saw that. I may not love it, but I'm glad that like I got the chance to actually sit down and watch that movie.
to be honest, Dragon Wars, I think, was the big
Dragon
one.
Wars is super fun.
It's like the definition of good, bad. It's really fun, but you realize it's like, why am I enjoying this? It's not good at all. That's a big one for me. Did you have one that you hadn't seen before that you were?
Yeah, no, I did. And even though I didn't give it the super highest score, like, I'm glad I watched it, which was Demaking. It's a movie that I wanted to give a higher score. I wanted it to be a higher scored movie because I loved the expression of the film. And it's from a year where a lot of good Japanese genre fiction is coming out. I know in the episode I name checked, like, legit one of my all time favorite movies, Fish Story, which comes out from the same year. I thought it was doing something interesting. I wish it ended better than it did, but it's a movie that I would have never have watched if we weren't doing this show. And I was so, so thankful to see something as cool of an expression as that movie was.
To get back to my terrible metaphor, the 50s through the 70s were kaiju vegetables. The 80s through the 2000s were our main course. I feel like in the next two seasons, we are going to get to kind of just desserts, both good and bad, but we're going to get some of the craziest.
Oh yeah. I mean, we're going to be entering the second kaiju golden age is what we're probably about to get. I mean, we're kind of in the middle of it right now. Like, I think we're on the other side of it.
Late 2010s, but it really did get kicked off in a few ways, both with the legendary series and, you know, Reiwa era Godzilla stuff we can talk about. But
I mean, I have one movie in particular that I think is directly responsible with the boom boom. And then there's one movie that we're going to talk about very soon that's responsible for kind of everything.
I've held off on watching a lot of stuff because I knew we were going to get to it for the podcast. Like, I've never seen the anime Godzilla movies. I've held off on watching Shin Godzilla.
They're interesting. I watched them when they I haven't watched them since they came out. I'm excited to watch them again, and I will watch those in English. I watch a lot of anime dubbed these days because there's almost no reason not to, unless you're just like really big fans of the certain Japanese cast. But they're interesting movies. I know I think they're technically Shin Godzilla sequels.
Oh, really? That's interesting. We have three MonsterVerse movies, I think, in the 2010s.
Between Kong Skull Island and the two Godzilla films.
I'm very excited about revisiting those, as well as Pacific Rim.
I haven't rewatched Pacific Rim in a long time. I've actually never seen the sequel, which I know is on our list. So I'm actually excited to see, because I've never seen it.
I think this is finally the decade Hollywood really nails it home. And I'm probably going to rewatch all of the MonsterVerse movies.
Any movie we're doing an episode on, I'm going to rewatch the movie.
Well, no, I'm talking. I'm probably going to watch all like six of the movies, five of the movies.
But so like, here's the thing is back. Like, there's one movie that I have probably rewatched more than almost any Godzilla movie. Partially because Warner Brothers had the rights to it. So when listeners of the show may or may not know that I'm a big wrestling fan and I watch AEW wrestling every Wednesday, it used to be on TNT. And before their 8 o'clock programming, they used to just have a movie on. And for the longest time, it was one of two Godzilla movies. And so I've seen the end of that movie a million times. And one of them happens to be one of my favorite Godzilla movies of all time.
Which movie?
Well, I'm not going to say it now.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Which MonsterVerse Godzilla movie is my favorite?
Oh, you're talking about MonsterVerse movie. For some reason, I thought you were talking about a Japanese film.
No, there's a MonsterVerse because Warner Brothers had the rights to all the legendary stuff. Ooh. There was a specific movie they would play like in rotation. It was like The Accountant, this Godzilla movie, and then like random stuff they had rights to. I have no idea why I've seen like The Accountant more times than I can count for the last like 15 minutes of it. But like, I have.
Yeah. Some great films in there, but
also some terrible asylum movies,
some real God awful asylum films, but also just some surprising movies that are kaiju adjacent or kaiju like that I'm very excited to revisit.
Yeah. Like, I'm excited to get to like stuff like Colossal, you know, like really neat, like expressions of kaiju cinema.
Yeah, we got some odd ones on the list, including Troll Hunter, a giant monster movie from
I'm excited to rewatch that one. I did it on the More You Nerd with Drew. We did a non-Godzilla kaiju month before we started doing this show. You and I started doing this show.
Yes.
And
I watched it for the More You Nerd as well.
Wait, were you on the show at the time?
I mean, that was like a decade ago. So yeah, I think so.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, we also did it recently, so I don't think we remembered that we had already done the show.
Should we just put out that episode?
The More You Nerd episode on the Troll Hunter? Yeah, let's do that. That sounds great.
Boy.
I don't think Drew had realized we had done the Troll Hunter episode because we went along and we had never seen it before.
So Troll Hunters was 2018. That was only 6 years ago. But then you did it again in 2021, it looks like, on More You Nerd.
Did we really do two episodes on it?
Yes.
That's so funny. I don't think either of us clocked it, and no one ever said a word about it. That's hilarious.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Anyway, is there anything else that you've not seen on the list that you're excited about? We have a pretty long one. This is, I think,
for 2020 or 2010
season 7. Yeah, is going to be, I think, our longest season.
I mean, there's movies I haven't seen. And there's some that I'm like, oh, that's a funny title, like Big Ass Spider. Like, that's actively funny. I mean, I mentioned earlier that I have not seen the sequel to Pacific Rim, which is a movie that I very much loved.
I think it's gonna be a good time, man.
I'm excited to revisit Rampage. That's a really fun movie that, like, I'm gonna call that shot right now. This movie, like, lives and breathes by the performance of Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Like, that dude just kills it in that movie.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see Kaiju Mono.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
Japanese. I'm excited about Notzilla, which is another Godzilla parody kind of film from Japan.
I'm excited about it. I don't love the title. It makes me feel like I'm not going to like the movie, but I'm I'm excited to see it. Like, I'm more excited to see, like, the God Raiga versus King Oga. Like, despite the fact that I kind of sometimes trash his movies, I'm like, I'm more excited to see about his stuff because I know he loves it. I know he, you know, like, there's a thing where, like, I may not like this movie, but, like, I love that this guy's doing that thing. You know, it's not. It's not like it's like an Ed Wood thing. It's not like a, you know, Uwe Boll kind of situation where I'm like, just stop forever. Like, I want this dude to keep making weird little kaiju movies.
We have 40 different films in season 7, Miles, if you can believe it. It's one of our longest seasons ever. And, you know, but at this point in 2024, as we're recording this, we only have about 100 more kaiju films, like, total. For the podcast.
Man, that kind of bums me out.
Yeah, well, it means we're going to be done in a couple of years, unless, if you're listening to this, we need you to get on it, Hollywood, and continue, and Japan, continue to make kaiju films. And
we absolutely have ideas for other things outside of our list of stuff. I love the hopeful James Wan Call of Cthulhu movie, as if that's ever going to happen.
Well, yeah, I've got a whole list of, like, things that might come out.
Including... Oh, I know. I just saw that. I'm like, look, there's been a spark of hope for that kind of movie to come out forever. I've read Guillermo del Toro's script. It was great. On a related line, I'm excited for us to get in the 2020s and do stuff like Underwater and Love and Monsters. Like, we got a lot of
very
cool movies ahead of us.
Some kaiju, don't spoil season 6 or 8. we got to talk about season 7, which is next.
I'm also excited to watch The Great Buddha Revival. Is that the one that's got Dama King in it?
It's kind of not really.
Is that not what I'm talking about? Is it a different one?
It's kind of a remake of an early 30s or 40s.
What's the one with Daimajin then? Oh, it's the Great Yokai War. That's the next season. Sorry.
Yeah. So we got a lot of stuff. It is a long season, but that's going to do it for us. That is the end of season 6. Also a long one, but we're thankful for folks coming along this journey. You can email us at kaijuversushistory if you'd like to ask us a question or chat about kaiju. Find us on the Cosmic Crit Discord. We have a whole channel that is about kaiju versus history and is mostly talking about all kinds of kaiju news and fun toy news.
a lot of toy news, to be honest.
Yeah, DVD releases. Find us on social media at Kaiju Versus History, or email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. No, I already said that. Find us on kaijuversushistory.com, letterbox at Kaiju Versus History, and see our scores in 5-star format, including our to be watched list, so you can see what we're going to get to you before we get to it. That's it for season 6. What are we doing at the start of season 7?
Well, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. And we're going to catch you next time when we kick off season 7 of the podcast with a brand new director whose debut is going to light a match under Hollywood and hopefully kickstart some more independent daikaiju. So join us as we look at the masterful Gareth Edwards and his take on the genre. That's right. Next time, tune in for History Versus Monsters.